wonderful to be one more time with you, bringing this good word. I pray that this is something that will enrich you, inspire you, and hopefully carry you through the tough times. So I appreciate this opportunity. You know, when presented with an opportunity to speak, I take it very, very seriously, and I always ask our Heavenly Father, Lord, what's the best thing that I can do today? Like, give me a word that's going to, one, place a mark on me that can't be erased, but also be beneficial to the folks that are listening and viewing this. And, you know, over the last, I'd say, a couple of weeks, we've just been talking about, together, he and I, just been talking about his love for me, and in turn, my love for him. And I think it's something that sometimes as believers, we take for granted and don't always just express the fullness of God's love in our life. So I want to talk to you today a little bit about God's enduring love. I think over the last several weeks, several months, you know, I personally have been going through some, you know, some difficult times, some trying times. And what gives me comfort at the end of the day is knowing that God truly does love me. And sometimes I forget just the incredible, immense depths of his love for me. So today, I wanted to kind of share with you some of the passages and verses that I've been sort of reading and meditating on. And hopefully, it gives you a little bit of comfort like it did for me. So real fast, we'll go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21, and I'll read this out of the Amplified Bible. And it's it starts off a little weird, just to say the least, because you're talking about love, and we're going to talk about a battle scene. So it's interesting, but trust me, hopefully we'll make a good point. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21 says, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers to sing to the Lord and praise him in their holy garments as they went out before the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and his loving kindness endure forever. Now, you may ask yourself, what does that have to do with enduring love? But at this particular point, King Jehoshaphat was being pressed by the armies of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, and they were getting ready to go into battle. And Jehoshaphat knew that they were going to get completely annihilated by these other nations because, you know, Judah just wasn't prepared. And at this point, he needed to hear from the Lord. He needed a way out of this, and this was his choice. I'll read this again to you in the Message Bible because I love what it says here. And after talking it over with the people, Jehoshaphat appointed a choir for God, dressed in holy robes, and they were to march ahead of the troops, singing and giving praise unto God. Give thanks to God, for his love never quits. Like we said before, this time, Judah and King Jehoshaphat were in the process of getting completely attacked, demolished, and annihilated by these armies. And the only thing that he could deploy for his defense was gathering a choir. Now, that may sound a little strange to you, and to me it sounds a little strange also, knowing that armies are going to kind of attack me, and what do? I get a choir and put them in the finest robes that they can have. I get my best choir director, and we go out and march in front of the troops into battle. And what happens here? So when you continue to keep reading through 2 Chronicles, that choir starts to sing, give thanks unto God, for his love never quits. And they continue to chant this and sing this and give praise unto God to the Most High, and the most miraculous thing happens. As they are marching out into the battlefield, the choir in front leading the battle charge, which is something that's unheard of, they start to sing and give praise unto God. And at that moment, those armies of Ammon, of Moab, of Mount Seir, they didn't know what to do. The sound of this choir caused them to panic. And God sent ambushments to the aid of Judah, and those enemy armies were destroyed to the point where they ended up destroying themselves, which is interesting that at this moment, when Jehoshaphat and Judah are surrounded by enemies, they're surrounded by just the worst possible scenario and situation, their answer, their call was to give praise unto God. And at that moment, God showed up and answered and destroyed that army and rescued them out of a very perilous and dangerous situation. You may not be facing an army, but Lord knows that during our everyday day-to-day routine, we're faced with incredible challenges, incredible, trials and tribulations, and just challenges that we have to face. And our weapon that we have is giving praise unto God, but more importantly, understanding that God loves us and that that enduring love will never quit. And because he loves us so much, that he's going to make these things work out for us. In the end, those warriors were confused and fought each other and ripped themselves into shreds and tore themselves apart, basically because of the praise that was given by those people, because they believed steadfastly and 100% in God's love for them. When faced with an enemy, God's people gave praise, and that was their biggest weapon. When you're faced with a challenge, what is the biggest weapon that you have at your disposal? Giving praise unto God, standing fast and standing true and holding on to the fact that God's love will never quit. He loves you so deeply, and we can't forget that, because that is what we can tap into so that we can live a life of freedom, knowing that God does love us. And because he does, and because he loves us so much, that he's going to make things work out for us. It may be difficult in the beginning, but we know that we will get the victory in the end. Amen. God's love never quits, because God never quits. They're intertwined. You can't have one without the other. God loves us so much that he's willing to go above and beyond to make sure that we, his children, are taken care of. And I think that is a key that we have to take away, knowing that our Heavenly Father loves us and prizes us above anything. Anything that's out there, any challenge, any circumstance, any situation, knowing that his love is what's going to carry us through. Standing on top of that, amen, is what's going to get us to victory. Real fast, if you can, let's go to 1 John chapter 3, and it kind of, dives into this a little bit more, and I love this chapter, I love these verses, what we're talking about here, and we're going to read this in the Amplified Bible, and I'll start here in verse 1, and it says, "See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, and bestowed upon us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason that this world does not know, recognize, or acknowledge us is that it doesn't know, recognize, and acknowledge him." Said, and the thing here that we have to understand is that we are his children. We are adopted into his family. The love that God has for us, the love that Christ has shown to us, is personal. It is a personal love that we have to tap into. And I think one of the things that that's so important to me when I read this, it talks about the quality of the love of the Father. It talks about how we are his children. You can have a child by accident, but you can't be adopted by accident. God took this moment, took this time to adopt us into his royal family, which means it was a conscious decision for him to show forth his love to us. It is not by accident that you are a part of this family. He chose you as his special child. And I thank God for that, because that gives me faith, that gives me courage, that gives me hope to keep pressing on, knowing that God does love me, that I am not here by happenstance, but this is something that has been predestined, and that he's going to make sure that everything comes out right for me. Amen. His love is personal, and we have to understand that this is not something that was happenstance, but he loved us on purpose. A keen understanding of our relationship sets you on a path to victory, but we need to really live this out in our lives and understanding the depths, the width, the height of God's love for us. Amen. I think when we talk about this, that we have to really make sure that this is a personal connection for us, because he does have enduring love, but we can't treat it as something that's fleeting. Because God loves me, he hears me when I pray. Because God loves me, he answers when I call. because he loves me, he will make sure that I will be victorious in my life. Because he loves me, he's given me salvation. He's given me eternal life. Because he loves me, he's going to make sure that I come out on top all of the time. And I think you have to remember that today, just to give you hope when things seem to be a little dark, when things seem to be full of despair. Wait, no, you know what, world? God does love me. And no matter what the enemy may try to throw at you, bring in front of you, no matter what, you know, what your boss may say, no matter what the news may say, I understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that God does love me. And he loves you too. And in case you didn't know, I'm going to tell you that today, that God loves you beyond all measure. It is amazing to feel and experience his love, and we have to make a conscious decision to tap into that so that we can receive all that God has for us. Real fast, let's go to 1 John chapter 4, and we'll read this. We'll read verse 17 through verse 19. And I'm going to read this in the Message Bible. I just love this translation. And the title of it says, "To Love and to Be Loved." God is love. Done deal. End of story. There's nothing really that we can debate there. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God, and God lives in us. This way, love has a run of the house. It just takes over completely. It becomes at home and matures in us, so that we are free of worry on Judgment Day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in God's love. Think about that. Think about that. Let's work on our love and our love for him. Let's give love the run of the house. Let's make sure that love casts out all fear. In fact, you know, I love how this says this here. It said, well-formed love banishes out fear. It reduces fear to ashes. Fear creates all sort of destruction in our life if we allow it to. But love, real love, places you in an unmovable position, because when we know that God loves us and we love him, you can't be moved off your stance. You can't be moved off of your position. You become unmovable, because at this point, nothing can convince you otherwise. Because we know, not just have a surface relationship with God, but we know deep in our hearts, and it's written on the tablets of our heart, that God does love us. Then when situations come and fear tries to creep in, we know that we are so full of love and understand God's love for us that it pushes out fear, so that we live a life of freedom and not bondage, being held by fear of the unknown, a fear of what may happen because we don't know this or don't know that, what may be happening out in the world. We understand that God continues yet to love us, and that he will make sure that everything gets made straight for us. And because of this attitude and this lifestyle that we're creating, based and built on rock solid, not just ancillary sort of, you know, an acquaintance, but it's built on real, true, deep-seated love. We live in a world where we're not worrying about anything. We're living in an opportunity in a world where we're not concerned about what my neighbor may say. I'm not concerned about what the job is going to say. I'm not concerned about what I don't have or who got what. The point that I'm trying to make here today is that a life fully formed in love is truly a life of freedom, because I'm no longer worrying about ancillary things. I'm no longer worried about keeping up with the guy down the street. I'm not worrying about the grass being greener on the other side of the fence, because where I am, the grass is greenest. Where I go, he goes. There's no other position, no other place that I'd rather be than right here, right now, living a life fully formed in God's love. You know, and it's easy to say that, and it's a little more difficult to live it out, but this is something that as believers we have to strive for. And I understand that everything is not going to be picture perfect. I understand that there are going to be days where it's going to be tough and difficult to live this out. But ultimately what happens is that we keep striving, we keep pushing forward, is that this is how we fully experience all that God has for us and what he can do for us as a result of just his love being alive and active in our life. Because we're allowing and giving him the opportunity to express the fullness of his character via his love in our lives. That's ultimately what we want to have happen. Lord, I'm going to stand here being an open vessel so that I can experience all that you have, all that you are, and all that you want me to be. When we understand that living a life filled with God's love, with his fullness of love, operating inside of us, woven into the fabric of who we are, some of these other trivial things will just fall away. Lord, I understand that, hey, you know what? I have a situation that's going on right now. But because you love me, you hear me. And when I call upon your name, you will answer. Because you love me, you will put me high above and never again beneath. Because you love me, Lord, you will take care of me, your servant. And it's not a matter of what can I get from you, Lord, but it's really, I just want to love you to love you. I want to experience your greatness, your goodness, your grace, your mercy. I want to experience all that you are in my life. And the way that I do that is by letting you in fully and completely, so that I can experience all that I should be in you. Ephesians chapter 3 in the Message Bible talks about it a little bit more eloquently than I can bring. But I'll read this for you real fast. It says, my response is to get down on my knees before the Father. This magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth, I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him with both feet planted firmly on love, that you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimension of Christ's love. I love this verse. Taking in the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb its depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, fullness. Fullness, fullness, fullness in God. Let's read this right here one more time. It says, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. You know, and we know what verse 20 and 21 says, that God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. I want to get to that point that we're experiencing everything above our wildest dreams. Like, Lord, I'm going to open the doors of my heart and invite you in and give you full run of the house. You know, when family comes over to your house, you know, whether it's a family gathering, a birthday, a dinner, a celebration, a holiday, you know, when your family comes in, they can go anywhere they want. Well, maybe they should, depending on how you set your house up. But when people come to my house, it's like, hey, you're in my house. Like, you're part of my family. I'm giving you the run of the place. Oh, you want something? You want something to drink? Here. You want something to eat? Here you go. Like, I'm not holding anything back. Like, when you're here, when I've invited you in as my guest, that means I am giving you an equal share in all that I have. And that's what happens when we invite Christ into our hearts, when we give him all of us, not just a little bit, just all of us. When I give him every single thing that I have, Lord, come on in and you can take the run of the house. You can have the master bedroom. You can take the basement. You can take the den. You can take the family room. You can take the kitchen. You can whatever you want. Like, Lord, I'm giving myself over to you because the biggest thing for me is to experience the fullness of your love in my life. Your love never quits, and I thank God for that. And because of that, Lord, I know that you're going to continue. You're going to continue to help me get to that point where I can experience all the heights of your love. I want to experience all that Christ has to offer. Being able to live a life free from fear because of your love. This has been a lesson that's taken me quite some time to learn in my life, because it's always been about what I didn't have, or striving to be this or to be that, or constructing some false narrative of who I am, you know, and it not really being true and sincere. But living a life filled with God's love will push all of that to the outside, so that the focus is on Him. And when my focus is turned to God, when my focus is turned to His Son, Jesus Christ, and living a life that is pleasing to them, that's when I truly start to experience God's fullness in my life, going from a barren place to a place of abundance. And it took some time to understand that I'm not concerned about what so-and-so may have or what I didn't get. It puts me in a position where I'm no longer looking inward at myself, but I'm looking outward to you. Ultimately, experiencing God's enduring love is really a lesson in shifting your perspective. Because to love someone truly, deeply, the way that they deserve to be loved requires you to remove yourself out of the way. In a marriage, for me to truly love my wife means to set her above my own desire, my own need. For a wife to truly love their husband, it means to put them first before their own personal need, personal gain, personal goal. For me to truly love God means, Lord, I'm going to love you no matter what. And in spite of what I may personally desire, my selfish fleshly desire, my manly desire, what I choose to have doesn't matter, because really my purpose is choosing you and seeking you first. And being all that you called me to be is going to require living a life filled to the full with your love. 1 John 3:16 in the Message Bible really describes it as living a life of sacrifice. And, you know, it sounds a little strange when I say it from that perspective. But let me read you this passage real fast so you understand. This is how we come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. And this is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have means to do something about it, don't turn a cold shoulder and do nothing. What happens to God's love then? It disappears, and you made it disappear too. I don't want that to ever be said, that I made God's love disappear because I chose not to be helpful. When we talk about living sacrificially, it means putting other people first in front of myself, because I know that ultimately the biggest reward is living a life that is pleasing unto God. When we talk about sacrificial love, you know, you can't talk about love without going to, you know, the love chapter. So you guys know where I'm headed. But 1 Corinthians 13 in the Message translation says, if I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. I mean, absolutely nowhere. I've achieved nothing. For all of my pious sort of actions, for all of my puffed up fake humility, I've gotten nowhere if I haven't done any of that in love. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of sins of those of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, and always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end, because that love, that sacrificial love, never, ever quits. I want to leave you with 1 John here, Chapter 3, and we've been, you know, weaving in and out of that pretty good today. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, and we'll read down to 24 in the Message Bible. It says, this is what happens when we practice real love. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there may be something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And friends, once that's taken care of and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, we're bold and free before God. We're able to stretch out our hands and receive what we asked for because we're doing what he said, doing what pleases him. And again, this is God's command to believe in his personally named son, Jesus. He told us to love each other in line with the original command. And as we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us. And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us by the Spirit that he gave us. So today, when you think about your love walk, when you think about God's enduring love, think about, what can I do, Lord, to live a life full of your love, being filled to overflowing of the fullness of your love? Lord, I want to live boldly in a God-centered reality. I want to live free from fear. I want to live free from worry, and I want to be furnished in your abundance. That's God's plan for your life, and I hope that you will take some of these words today and really stamp them on your heart and put that word in your mouth. And let's all start living a life filled with love, not just romantic type of love, which sounds nice, but filled with God's love, living a life full of love that will be pleasing to him. Amen. Amen and amen. I hope you've been blessed. Thank God for this opportunity. And as you go throughout the rest of this day, let's start experiencing God's love.
We'd like to thank you for joining us in our service on today. And before we leave, we'd like to give you the opportunity to accept Jesus as your Savior. It is as simple as A, B, C. I accept God and acknowledge the sins in my life. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I commit my life to you. If you said that simple prayer, we believe that you've been born again. Welcome to the family.
Giving is a part of your worship. Giving is a reflection of the love that you have for God. Father God, bless those that are giving, and thank you for their generosity in answering their prayers. Amen.